It's probably fair to say that most people do not believe in ghosts, but there are an awful lot of people who do and who have had experiences that make them true believers. They tell of strange activity in public and private places that has no logical or perhaps earthly explanation. And there are lots and lots of locations for such activity within the sound of my voice. What better subject for Halloween than a discussion about ghosts? And who better to have it with than Robbie Cordaway, author of two books on supernatural activity, Spirits of St. Louis, A Ghostly Guide to the Mound City's Unearthly Activities, and Spirits of St. Louis II. Robbie Cordaway joins me in studio, but before we begin our conversation, if you have had a supernatural experience, we would love to hear from you. 382-8255 is the number. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org or a tweet at STL on air. Robbie Cordaway, thank you for being with us. Are you frightened now that you're hearing that exorcist music?
Yes. Thanks for having me, Don, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you, too. Do you believe in ghosts?
You know, I'm not sure. There are a lot of strange things that are have not been explained and not adequately for my taste anyway.
Yeah. What got you into this whole realm of checking out these stories?
Well, I worked for the Suburban Journals for many years as a reporter, and through the years I picked up a number of just fun ghost stories. After I had kind of semi-retired. I was raising my daughter, and she was just a little thing. And I was looking for a freelance opportunity, and I caught on the idea of maybe a book of ghost stories. At the time, there was one, a regional book done by Jim Longo, but there really wasn't any St. Louis ghost story book. So I thought that might be a good idea. So I approached the publisher at Virginia Publishing, and he agreed.
And you got two books out of it because there are an awful lot of stories in this part of the country and in this specific region.
That's right.
Right. What is a ghost?
Well, apparently there are many different types according to the experts. There are psychic imprints, which are kind of like a digital film loop or a digital impression that repeats over time. And then there are what they call the true hauntings, which are where you can actually have an interaction with the with the ghost. There are poltergeists. And there are also what are thought to be ghosts but are actually impressions caused by the percipient. That's what I'm told anyway, that they actually are the impetus for this activity that's going on.
That's going on in the house, like Amityville Horror, Poltergeist, and that sort of thing. You've written about Bevy Jaggers, who was a psychic in this area for many years, who's passed away, unfortunately. But she used to tell me that most people, when they think of ghosts, they think of Casper the Ghost. But no, it's nothing like that. It's really kind of an electrical field, perhaps. Have you heard that kind of story?
Yes, I have. And in fact, I in my second book, I had interviewed a parapsychologist from Springfield, Illinois, who apparently these ghost hunters will say, well, I'm picking up energy with this EMF meter, like kind of microwave activity or whatever. And apparently where you have a lot of this activity, people report more of these experiences. But this parapsychologist said that in many cases that's due to the fact that they had done experiments where they stimulated a person's temporal lobe with this kind of electric energy, and that caused them to come up with these hallucinations that they were seeing ghosts.
So it's an electrical burst of some sort. We all have certain energy as part of our physiology, and that if there's a sudden death, this is what I'm told by people like Bevy and others, that there's a release of this electrical energy. It doesn't know where to go. Does that sound right?
Sounds good to me.
You know, I laugh at it, but there are an awful lot of very respectable people who believe in this and have done an awful lot of research into it.
Yeah.
Well, you're one of them. What's your best ghost story?
Well, actually, my favorite is was from the first book I wrote. A fellow who was retired from the Missouri Department of Transportation. His father, back around 1903, was an apprentice to a stonemason who was doing work on a sub-basement of a house in the Soulard area. It's not there anymore. It's where 44 and 55 come together. And anyway, the story, this is obviously a secondhand story. It's
sure.
It was just so creepy. Someone or something came out of that basement. They had apparently there was a locked door under there in this sub basement, and it was padlocked, and there was this terrible smell, and the cold air, and they were able to open it, and anyway, something came out that day, and it was wrapped in bandages, and I know he had said that. It had dark places where I know this sounds crazy, but anyway, it was the way he told it. It was very believable, and I know I went home that day and I had recorded my notes and I transcribed them in the basement, and it was a hot July afternoon, close to 100 degrees, and I was just shivering the whole time. It was.
Cold air is associated with them, again, from what many people say, that there's the cold spots oftentimes can, cold spots in a warm environment can be a sign
yes.
that something is there. You know, most people are familiar with Lemp Mansion and the fact that the actual incident that inspired the book, The Exorcist, took place here in St. Louis. These are well known. Let's talk about some of the other places that that people may not be familiar with. One of the places you write about is Powell Hall, which is very close to us right here. What's going on over there?
Well, supposedly they have a ghost by the name of George who appears from time to time. So that's...
Does he play an instrument?
No, I think he just scares people. But there's also the Newstead Avenue Police Station, or what used to be. There are some pretty creepy things that went on over there as
through
the years.
Such as?
The people I interviewed, they had operated a graphic design firm out of there. Back in the 90s, and they told us screams and hearing screams and seeing in the lunchroom area these figures walking by, and but apparently it preceded their time too. There was an artist who had a studio in that building, and he reported some. Apparently, at one tenant actually took to hanging crosses in all of the rooms. They're sufficiently unnerved by it all.
It can be unnerving when things start moving around. There's no question about that. We're starting to get some calls in, and I want to take some Robbie Court away. But another story that I've heard about ever since I've been in St. Louis is Oak Knoll Park. I guess that's the Artists Guild now. But there's a story out there about a famous haunting.
Yes. Yes.
What's that story?
I'm trying to remember now. That was, I can't remember that one.
What I remember being told was that the vision of a woman walking on the top floor was seen by people who lived and worked in that building, and that the story was that that a man was cleaning his rifle out in the backyard one day, and it went off accidentally and killed his wife, who was walking upstairs at the time. This was many years ago, of course, and that she continues to make that walk.
Now, that one, I don't believe I've heard that.
Time for a third book.
Yes, sounds like it.
Let's get some calls in for Robbie Cordaway. We'll start with Rick calling from Brentwood. Go ahead, Rick. You're on the air.
Hello, Don, and thank you for a wonderful program. I occasionally see you at the Brentwood Post Office, but you don't know me.
My hangout. Yeah, go ahead.
I rented a house when I got out of college in Caseyville, and there had been a lot of violence in the house, as I later found out. And frankly, I was very sensitive to the fact that there was something in the house with me. You know, many times I'd go into the basement, and the hair on my arm would just jump up for no apparent reason. And lights would go on and off at any time, day or night. And I contacted a friend of mine, and he had a friend who did exorcisms. And she came over, and I left her alone, and she walked through, and she said, well, you have five spirits in this house. And one of them is traveling with you and has come with you when you moved here. Now, some would say that's a guardian angel. The other four were fine and not malevolent, but the one was Henri. And she thought it was the one that was the Henri one that was turning on and off the lights. And so she asked them to leave and told them to leave. And eventually I did not feel any presence in the house whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Also, I sold real estate in Belleville for many years, and I had a young couple, and we went into an older house that dated pre-Civil War. And I walked in front of them, and there was a very strange smell. It was very cold and damp. It was in the fall, but not winter. And I had no sooner walked in the front door, and the hair on my arm stood straight up. And they came in behind me, and I said, what do you guys think of this house? And they said, well, we're not wild about it. And I said, well, that's fine. Let's go find another one. So we basically did an about face and walked out. And I'm quite certain that there was a presence there.
You believe in ghosts then, Rick?
I very much so. Matter of fact, a dear friend of mine, who she and I used to communicate telepathically, that's a whole other story, but before she passed away, I asked her and I said, would you please do your best to come back and visit me if you can? And I said, but please, whatever you do, don't stand at the end of the bed and scare the crap out of me.
Rick, thank you. Thank you for your call. This is kind of typical of the stories that I've heard over the years from people who have had these kind of experiences, Robbie.
Yes, and very much so.
A couple of things that come to mind. Number one is that you've already mentioned that there's an unusual smell, and also lights being turned on and off. That seems to be kind of a typical prank.
Yes, definitely.
Let's take a break. We have to do that. We have to do that now. We're talking with Robbie Cordaway. She's the author of two books on supernatural activity here in the St. Louis area. And because it's Halloween, we're talking about that because some people believe in ghosts, others do not. But we're going to hear some interesting stories about them today. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Robbie Cordaway. We're talking about hauntings and ghosts this Halloween day. Robbie, I know you've got something there that you want to read, but let me just ask you about something that came up from our previous caller, and that is the difference between malevolent ghosts and those who are less so, those who are actually benevolent. Do we have any in this area, according to your research, any malevolent ghosts, nasty ones?
Well, Philip Goodwilling of the Haunt Hunters always maintained that, yes, there were some demonic, malevolent types of hauntings, and that he had come across them in his experience.
I understand there was a place in Alton or that part of Illinois where there's a particularly upsetting place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the Mineral Springs Hotel. Is that
the I think that's the one. It's in the basement. A lot of activity in the basement,
right,
they
right.
say. Yeah. What, do you have any specifics on what goes on down there?
There's just been a lot of haunting activity, from what I can recall. I apologize. I wrote the book about 18 years ago,
I
and I don't remember all the stories.
Sure, no, I understand that, but I'm told that people go down into that basement and they have a very distinct feeling that something is very, very bad down there.
Yeah.
That's the kind of story that we hear. Okay, I'm going to take one more call and then we'll take your reading. Let's bring in Jerry calling from O'Fallon, Missouri. Jerry, have you got a story?
Yes, I left the information if you'd like specifics, because this was kind of told to me in confidence. But there's a location in the city of St. Charles that I've done a lot of work there over the years. And a handful of years ago, I was having a rather casual conversation with the director. And as a matter of fact, as you might say, it's a little chilly outside. She said, well, you know this place is haunted, and proceeded to give me about four or five different things that she had seen, including apparitions, et cetera, and other strange phenomena. And then about two or three years after that, I was coordinating an event there, and a couple had their child who was a bit autistic, and he kept repeating over and over again. He was saying, this place is so haunted. This place is so haunted. And I just thought, man, that there's some kind of energy going on here that, you know, is out of my wavelength. But
Jerry,
I certainly believe that there was something there.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes, actually, through some of my relatives, I've heard stories. I've never experienced anything, but there are some very uncanny things that my grandmother used to say. And I would think, well, there's any way you analyze it, there is something very strange as far as communication beyond the realm that we are currently occupying.
Jerry, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. Right.
Let's go back to Robbie Cordaway now. You have a segment from your book that you'd like to read for us, Robbie.
Well, I just a story from, you had mentioned Bevy Jaggers back, and she had an experience that she told me about that was very interesting. And she was in a Bible study class with a Catholic priest, and they often, they got to be friends, and they had long conversations about the Bible, miracles, life after death, and issues such as that. And then suddenly he was killed in a tragic traffic accident. His vehicle was hit by a truck, and it was he was killed instantly. And she went to his funeral, and she looked down on the casket and thought to herself, well, now you know all the answers. And a few days later, he appeared to her. And of course, she was unnerved and very scared by it. But she said after that time, she said he never appeared again. He seemed to know that she wasn't really ready to face him. She was and she thought too that he might look as the same way that he looked after the accident, but that was not the case.
He looked normal before the accident.
And she said she knew after that that there was life after
something
death, and
going
you
on.
Did go somewhere.
I have an email here from Daniel in Fenton. Writes, about 4 years ago, I was in Providence, Rhode Island, at an event called Water Fire. I took 100 pictures. When I got back to the hotel, I was looking at the picture and saw what looks like a ghostly image walking on the water. I have shown the picture to some ghost hunter people, and they say there is something in that picture.
Uh-huh.
So the more you talk about this, the more people come up with stories like this. All right, one more call, and then we'll call it quits. Brian in St. Louis, you're on the air.
Hello. First of all, I do not believe in ghosts, but something did happen that I can't explain. I'll make it brief if possible, but back in the 70s and early high school, I ran into somebody who we eventually became best friends for life, and he asked a bunch of us to spend the night, and we did, and he was the last of the family in the house, so there were several bedrooms. He said, take my room, I'll sleep in my sister's old room. And during the night, someone woke me up calling me by his name, which is Andrew. And I said, no, he's across the hall in his sister's room. You want me to get him? He said, no, I will talk to him later. Well, I told my friend about what happened. He said nobody ever came in to, you know, talk to him. Now, a week later, we were back at his house, and his mother had a photo of him out. And I said, well, there's the man right there. That's who woke me up. He said, that's my dad. And I said, well, are your parents divorced? He said, no, my dad is deceased. So to this day, I will take any polygraph. I'll take any test. I still can't explain it. I'm not truly a believer, but it happened.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for the call. Again, they just keep coming. As they say, the hits keep coming. One more call, and then we'll move on. Marietta is joining us. I'm not sure where she's calling from, but again, we go back to these lights that go on and off in the house, I believe. Marietta, go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling from the city.
Good.
Last year, a young lady overdosed in our home. It's a two-family home. And starting in September, three times my television came on at night. Then the other family said, you know what? My hair dryer was on and the lights were on. And so I said, well, I have to tell you, the young lady overdosed in your bedroom. Huh. So I called a very reliable psychic friend, and she said, yes, that's the spirit of the young lady. And she also asked me, are there young children in the home? I said, yes, there is. And she says, well, they draw a different type of energy than adults. And then she says the reason why she kept turning on the lights is a spirit can control energy through electric. So that explained three nights my television, and then the neighbors that had hair dryers and lights come on during the night. So her suggestion to help would be to light white candles and burn them throughout the night and the day. And then she's gone. I kind of felt like she was a friend, but she just said, tell her to go on. It's okay. Tell her to go on and be with her family. And she never came back.
Marietta, thank you so much for that story. Our time is getting away from us, but that's an interesting one. Any stories that you come to mind about children? I mean, children are involved in this process too, I'm told.
Oh, yes. There was one in, I can't remember if it was St. Charles, a little girl who, apparently very friendly little girl who would appear in the one of the old shops there. And she was said to have... A local psychic had come in and said that it was the ghost of a little girl who had died, and she had gone too close to a stove and burned up in a fire. It's
horrible. Anyway, horrible.
Yeah.
We're going to have to leave it at that, Robbie Cordo. I think we've given people something to think about with regard to things that go on in the supernatural world here in our region. I have a ghost story, by the way. I'm not going to tell it now. It's too lengthy. But if I can talk the producers into it, I'll get it on our website this afternoon.
Oh, I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting story. Anyway, thank you, Robbie Cordery.
Thank you, Don.
Pleasure seeing you.
Thanks.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.